Numbers chapter 30, verses 1 to 16. Vows. I could have had another title to this, Authority. I will explain as we go on. Numbers 30, verses 1 to 16. Vows. Now, of course, we're right in the middle of the Old Covenant here. This is the law. This is the Mosaic Covenant. This is Israel. But some weighty principles come over into the New Covenant, as we shall see. The question of vows, people making promises, solemn binding promises to the Lord. And that's the word. These promises, these vows to God are binding. Verse 2, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. He must keep his word. If he gives his word, he keeps his word to the Lord. And I would say, applying this in all circumstances. For myself, I take what Christ said, and I can't give an oath, as it were, a swearing in court. I have to make a declaration. But that's a similar thing. That's, I say, I promise to keep my word, tell the truth. But I don't need to hold my Bible in my hand to say it or anything superstitious. But I make the declaration, I will tell the truth. And the Lord says here to Israel, now you make these promises, to me, you make these solemn binding vows, and they are binding. He must not break his word. He must do everything he said. This is the command of God. Moses said, to the heads of the tribes of Israel, verse 1, this is what the Lord commands. In other words, I've been away, you know, and scratched my head, and I come up with a good idea. No, this is the custom we have in Israel. This is our tradition. No, it's not. It's not an idea which we've thought about. It's not some scheme we've dreamed up. We had a committee, you know, and we went into this, and we looked at this, and we saw what others did, what other nations did. Not at all. This is an obedience to the command of God. This is a duty, a responsibility. But the rest of the chapter is really taken up with the question of safeguards. And here is where this idea of authority comes in. Some circumstances are raised. What if a young lady, a daughter, makes a vow, and she makes this pledge, and her father hears about it. Look at verse 3 to verse 5. And she makes this vow, and her father hears about it, and he does nothing about it. Then if he doesn't step in at that stage, her vow stands, and she must keep her vow. But if the father listens and hears about this vow, and he says, no, this has been rash. You shouldn't have bound yourself. If he forbids it when he hears about it, verse 5, then she does not have to keep that vow. Is she released from it? That's the point. The Lord will release her because her father has forbidden her. And it's the same about a married woman. The husband, if he hears about the vow and the binding promise and so on, and he does nothing about it, he's sanctioning it. But if he forbids it and says, no, this is rash, then he has the power, he has the authority to say, no, this is not to be done, and the vow breaks, it's collapsed, it vanishes. Verse 9, if an obligation or vow taken by a widow or a divorced woman, that is binding on her because she has her own authority there. Can you see the point I'm making about authority? A daughter is under the authority of her father. A woman, a wife, is under the authority of her husband. But a widow or a divorced woman is separate. If a woman is beyond the jurisdiction of her father, then she has her own authority and she is responsible. It's all a question of authority. It's very, very serious business, this question of responsibility. You see, in verse 15, if the husband nullifies the the vow too late, then he is responsible for her guilt. He carries the can as well if he gets the authority exercised in the wrong way. I'm making myself clear. Here is a question of authority. So I said the alternative title is vow or authority here. Marriages or in the home with the father. I think I've mentioned before that when my daughter got married, one of my daughters got married, she got married in a place where the pastor was very, very strict and had a rigid rule and governance, and it was not allowed that there could be the giving away by the father. And this grieved me, and I thought that was something to do with Zelophehad, which I preached on a little time before. But it was this passage I discovered as I come back to it. I remember now, it was this passage. I can see now that in the marriage time, when the father transfers the daughter to the husband's responsibility, that this is a new covenant idea. It's the transfer of authority, because this comes over in the Old Covenant here in Numbers 30. But if you look at 1 Corinthians 11, verses 3 to 16, you'll find it very strongly there. There is the question of authority. I'm not going into husbands and wives and fathers and daughters now, but on this particular point, yes, authority here. There is this question of authority. And this is the serious point here. And Moses, or God through Moses, is not allowing Israel to play fast and loose over this question of authority. This is a very important principle in the both covenants, and it comes over into the new covenant. Of course, it's even higher in the new covenant. It was in the old covenant as well. If men in Israel made their, or women too, made their vows to God, then they should keep their vows to God. And it's the same for us. My brothers and sisters, if you have made a vow to the Lord, and if you're converted, then you are a brother and sister, you have made a vow to the Lord. O Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have kept the faith. Keep thou the faith. He that endures to the end, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is what conversion is. It's a coming to Christ, it's a receiving of Christ, a trusting of Christ, and it's a submission to Christ, it's obedience to Christ, and it's a lifelong commitment. You will know this hymn by Philip Doddridge very well. Let me remind you of it. O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. O happy bond that seals my vows, there you are, to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house, while to that sacred place I move. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. Is it done for you, my friend? Have you had a transaction with Christ, taken him as your Lord and Saviour, and given him your heart, and trusted him, and yielded to him? 'Tis done, that great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and he is mine. He drew me, and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Now rest my long divided heart, no longer divided, fixed on this blissful centre, rest. Who with ashes, who would care to part when called on angels' bread to feast? High heaven that heard that solemn vow, has it heard it from you, my friend? That vow renewed shall daily hear, till in life's latest hour I bow, and bless in death a bond so dear.